Yeah, thank y'all. Thank y'all. Lots of kind words and actions. Thank you very much. I've made a couple of decisions, and they include you. So here we go. Let me get my little house in order over here. Okay. All nice and neat. I'm one of them kind of guys. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I had some of y'all's good food today. It was good. Thank you. Thank y'all for growing them taters. Chipano. ¿Quieres hablar? ¿Nada? No, this is Miss Hogan here. Yeah. Otro beso, por favor. Muchas gracias. Holy Ghost. This is so on. Listen, I don't know how I'm supposed to talk after what that all that Holy Ghost in the front. I don't know how you're supposed to do that. I'll figure out something. You know, my family, we've been at this for 8 generations. My mama's 90 years old and strong and loves God, intercessor, praise, amazing lady, good lady. Still lives by herself and drives herself, does her garden, all of that stuff. Good, good bunch. Full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Just sent my sister a video of y'all worshiping God. She wishes she was in every service with us, my brother-in-law and my sister. Holy Ghost. I got to tell y'all something. You know how you learn about God? Is you watch your family. And when you learn about God, your family learns about God from you. Now, not long ago, I was down at Texas at our office. Some of my family was there. And I have this chair I like to sit in, which I'm never there, but when I do get there, I like to sit in that chair. Very comfortable. Ms. Hogan has done very well about taking care of me. To her, I'm a treasure. And to me, she's a treasure, so I take care of her the same. We have matching chairs. Don't we? Well, I catch her in mine most of the time. That's all right. Because she says, what's hers is hers, and what's mine is hers. And that's the truth. So, it's fine. Now, I'm asleep, right? Well, almost. There's too many grandkids around, but I was just about. I was really relaxed. And then that little girl come over there, the little granddaughter. She's struggling, you know, because my chair's, I'm laying flat on one of them things. And here she comes. She's fighting to get up there because I'm acting like I'm asleep. And then she made it up. I feel her. She's crawling. She's crawling down my legs. She gets up there. She's laying flat on me. She's this close to me. I still got my eyes shut. And she started tapping me on the face. Paul. Paul. So I opened my eyes. Yes, dear. I love you, Paul. I said, Ms. Hogan, that new truck we got, bring the keys. Somebody else is fixing to be owner. See what you got to understand is, I know if I feel that way, what does God feel like when we love him like we just did? Whether he's in an easy chair or on a throne, no, that's relevant to me. Y'all, that only matters to y'all because you like to fuss about stuff. Jesus loves me. He is not mad at me ever. He is my friend. I no more call you slaves. I call you friends. And so, you know, and I'm sitting there and she kisses me on the cheek. She says, "Paul, I got to ask you something." I said, "Okay, baby, it's all right. Whatever you want, doesn't matter." She said, "Paul, my mama said that you are friends with Mickey Mouse." So she's sitting there with her elbows on my chest, just starry-eyed. I said, "It's the truth." She says, "Paul, I love you, Paul." She said, "Could you please?" I said, "Done." I said, "I need you to go get the rest of the family that's here." So she jumps down. I mean, her hair is sticking in all directions. She is on a mission. She runs up to these adults. "Paul said, family meeting." You know, so it doesn't matter how important what they're doing is, they just got trumped. This is important for you to understand because God's got us on a mission. He knows Mickey Mouse. And he wants a family meeting. And so we had this thing and she says, she's just sitting in my lap orchestrating this meeting. And she's touching my face, just vibrating. She turns around, looks at her parents and her uncles and aunts and all those people that are there. And she says, "Paul is taking us to see Mickey Mouse." So, what do you think's happening? But see, this is a big God thing, y'all. Because it does matter. It does matter. You know, now what? Just simple things like, where do you get the money for such an endeavor? Because I can't very well, you know, take that off my taxes. It's Mickey Mouse. You know, I told this story over there in Austin, Texas, because it's a real good story. It has great value in the kingdom of God. Because God is way, way better dad than I am a grandpa. And I am the best ever grandpa. And this guy, I had no idea, but the head associate fellow that runs that church there, pastor, used to run it. He got, you know, he got important. So there you go. He says to me, "You going to see Mickey Mouse? Where are you going?" I said, "Well, Orlando. I don't like that other one." He says, "Okay." He said, "My son is one of the managers of one of the divisions of Disney." I said, "Say what?" So just like that, the dream of this little girl, God's got it orchestrated. But you got to climb up in his lap, touch him on the face, and be real about your love and your affection. He'll give you the keys to that truck just for touching him and telling him you love him. And if you want to go see Mickey Mouse, it'll be set up. In another place where it's a drug-infested location, they said, "We heard on tape that y'all are going to see Mickey Mouse." These are ex-methamphetamine gang people that you wouldn't think understand that. And they gave her, my daughter, my granddaughter, little bitty old girl, just a white envelope. She don't have a clue. It just says on there in big letters and where she could understand it, Mickey Mouse. And inside of there, there's, I don't know, lots of money. See, you got to listen to me. God loves us. He wants us to be blessed. You believe it like he's saying. You know, you don't get it mixed up. I confront drug lords, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, all sorts. Don't make me list all the other religions, but lots of them. And the same God that wants me to take care of my granddaughter, the same exact God,
come on,
wants me to save the world at the same time. You don't get it mixed up. You are blessed. Now, you constantly making bad decisions, I'm going to have to influence you to stop that foolishness. Stop it. Just stop it. Turn the valve off on the devil and turn the valve on God. Leave the devil off. Just stop it. And follow the Holy Ghost. It's easy. People say, it's a process. No, it's not. It's yes and no. There's no gray areas. Y'all are... Had to hold that. It was a little bit of street language trying to get out. Because clearly the Bible says hold your tongue on certain occasions. I just held my tongue. I just saw it. Because it wanted to be bright. And certain brightness is not okay for some of y'all. Holy Ghost. I want to tell you that. So are y'all over in Hebrews 11 yet? We have to start there. This thing got to be a deal now. Didn't start out being a deal, but it's a big one. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, the first three words. What does it say? That was a general okay. So let's try it again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, first three words. What does it say?
Now faith is.
Oh, that's much more spontaneously better. Thank you. So what does it say?
Now faith is.
Tell me again.
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 Now faith is.
Shut up, Baba.
Hallelujah.
We let every principality, power, and governing and ruling spirit in Pennsylvania understand that now faith is. Because we are sons of God. We are daughters of Zion. We are who Jesus bled for and raised from the dead for. It's for us. We are the reason he raised from the dead. Holy Ghost. Here, I'll tell you this story. Is that okay? We did a verse, I'll tell you the story. I'm actually going to do a little teaching here in a minute, so I'm going to get a couple stories in. So, because something came on me, actually. All right. So I guess I must do it. I'm not coming out of the playhouse regardless. I'm staying in the toy box of the Holy Ghost fire. Okay. I was in this great big church of things, got lots of people. And they're a little nervous of me. I expect it must be my blue jeans. I don't know why else. Couldn't have anything to do with no compromise lifestyle. I don't know. So, there was lots of them in there. Probably the sanctuary is probably 2.5 times or 3 times the size of this building here. Big place, full. It was just packed out, jammed up. People's in, sitting in the thing. You know, we're in there. It's down there in South Texas, down there on the border. Lots of folks in there. Yeah, right by Harlingen. You know, it's good. It's good work. Good folks. Holy Ghost filled people. So I'm sitting there and I'm telling them how awesome Jesus is. That's all I ever talk about is the wonder of God. Jesus is King. That's the end of it. It doesn't matter the scenario. You know, you can sit there and I can throw you verses and all that, but it's going to boil down to the same exact word when we're through talking. Jesus. You can say it, 7,000 different ways, but you must rest on one word, Jesus. You can charge a lot of money to be a great counselor. You can do whatever you want. But at the end, if you want results, it has to come down to the fact that Jesus is King. It really don't matter how many directions you come at it and say it. It's got to come down to that thing that Jesus is King. If you want results, I mean. If you're satisfied, you know, just be happy and smell good, then that's fine. But I need results. I need the Holy Ghost fire. Amen. I need it to be so out of my hands and so out of control that everybody's afraid. I like it better that way. When we're nervous, things are better. When so much of God comes in that you don't know what's going to happen next, that's a very bright idea. Now, I started talking, you know, that Jesus is King and we're believers and we're sons and daughters. And next thing I know, some of them started standing up. And I, you know, in a yuppie world, that's not how things go. Y'all are so orderly, you just are pathetic. You don't allow for change or chance or it's logic and reason has to run everything. To stay pretty and organized. But we need Jesus. And he don't always go along with all that pretty stuff. He likes to think he's in charge sometimes. And so here it went. People started standing up, walking up there. And I'm just looking at them. Because I'm still talking. And it doesn't matter to me. I walk around them. Keep talking. He goes, I don't need that. Because in the villages where I work, man, you could have a whole bunch of chickens and roosters walk in and just start eating around you. You just walk around them and let them eat. Who cares? Maybe you have a whole bunch of pigs come in there and start rooting. And who knows? Donkeys. Weird stuff. Y'all don't have that no more. We still do. And so, next thing you know, it's really a big sanctuary, and they were all the way across. And then it got to be a second line, then a third line, then a fourth line. And so I figured I might as well participate. So I did. And I'm trying to figure out how to go about. We're going to be here the rest of our life praying for all these people. I really need God to step in here and smash about 2,000 of these folks. That way I can go home and eat some church's chicken. And so I'm walking back and forth just looking at everybody. Just looking at, you notice how I like to look you in the face. You ever notice that? I enjoy that man-to-man thing. Be surprised how many devils you can find. And I saw this lady back there. She's like three or four rows back. And she's not thinking she's going to be seen because she's hidden really well. But I'm a hunter. I notice things. I pay attention. And so I saw her back there. I saw tears. I saw that she had some need that I couldn't see what the need was. Now, if y'all would have been there, of course, she could have taught me a great lesson and showed me how to work that kind of stuff. So I walk, you know, I got all these important people up here and all that. So I walk, so excuse me. I get to the back there to her. She don't know I'm there. And I'm standing right in front of her. Because she's all caught up in something. A moment. I don't know. She's caught up in something. Something's got her. I'm pretty sure it was God. And then she opened her eyes and I'm standing there looking just right at her. And she blinked. So I reached up, touched her on her chest. And this is how it went. Today is the end for you, demon. And I don't know. I couldn't have if I'd have been tackled right then by security and held a gun at my face to tell them what was I talking about. I wouldn't have known what to say. But it just came out, you see. And then the Holy Ghost hit her and she flew. I went. Well, what I didn't know was she was stage 4 cancer. See, I didn't know that. And in the morning is her chemo thing. And so so hence all the concern. So hence why she was desperate. I figured all the desperate out. And I could tell the concern. I could tell all of those things, but I didn't know exactly which one of those demons was riding her horse in the ground. It's my responsibility to stop that. Because I am a son of God. And hell does not have the right to continue. So the all in thing applies, see? You just never know how much all in matters to somebody in that's close around where you are. You don't realize how much you depend on all-in people either. You really need all-in folks.
That's right.
All of us need them. And I had no idea. I didn't know. And she, so she went to the doctor. Now this is nice. I like this. What I'm fixing to tell you, this real important pastor called me 2.5 days later. It was coming on this trip here. He called me on the phone the evening before. And he goes, David, I waited to call you till we had the doctor verification. I said, what are you talking about? He said, remember the other night in the church? I said, okay, I was there. But what? The lady, the first lady you prayed for, I said, oh, the lady in the back that thought she was hiding. He said, yeah, that one. The next morning, she went to the Valley Baptist thing in South Texas. Real famous hospital. Do a lot of help, those people. And she was sitting in the chemo lab, right before they take you in and shoot you with all that stuff. And this nurse walks in. She's the one that keeps people calm. They pay her the big money because she's a people person. Because you're nervous when you got cancer, and you're nervous when you're doing radiation, you're nervous when you're doing chemo. And so this lady is paid big money to help keep you calm. so you can get through this thing. She comes in there. Now, she's doing her job. She's an excellent person at this job. And she comes in there and she sits down and she's looking at this lady. And she goes, excuse me, what happened to you? Now, see, she has got gifts, this lady. And they're very spiritual. She says, what are you talking about? She says, your countenance, your radiance, you're different. Something happened to you. What happened? She said, well, last night I went to church and there was this crazy human being from Mexico. And he reached and touched me and I flew through the air. And I don't know what happened to him because I woke up hours later and he was gone. She said, well, something's different about you. She said, excuse me, I need to go talk to the doctor. So she goes into the chemo room, explaining to these doctors how they need to come out here and have a look at this lady. Now, this is a visual. This is nothing to do with the machines. This is a woman that is, she's gifted with humans. And she saw a difference from the last time she looked at her. Just looking her in the face, she saw a difference. Do you understand? See, this is why you, as a son of God, all in, daughter of Zion, son of the living King, you need to be at your highest level all the time. Because people need us every day, all day long. And so the doctor didn't want to. You know, he wants his insurance money, poorest payment thing. So he goes in there and he sits down. And he's looking at that lady and he looks at the nurse. I mean, lady don't have a clue. The doctor goes, you're right. She is different. And he asked her, what happened to you? What happened to you? She goes, well, I went to church last night. There was this crazy man named David Hogan. He laid his hands upon me, and I flew through the air. And I don't know anything else. I came here. He said, we're not going to do chemo. What we're going to do is put you back through another battery of tests. That's not awesome either. They studied her 8 hours a day for 2 days. Absolutely cancer free. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. That's a good story, huh? Holy, holy. All right, now I'm going to get you. Made my mind up. We might as well put some icing on this cake. So it'll be really pretty. Holy Ghost fire. Okay, so let's turn in our Bibles, please. Now, we've done the Now Faith Is, right? We got that? Okay. Y'all okay? Everybody all right?
Amen.
Let's go to, where are we going? Acts chapter 1. Let's do some Holy Ghost. You want to? Is Holy Ghost okay? Yeah. So go to verse 8. I'm going to do some famous verses here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, when is faith? Oh, weakness. When is faith?
Now.
Ah, better. What does verse 8 say? The first like 8 or 10 words. You shall, what's going to happen to you? Receive what? When something happens, what is it? That's right. All right. If you're going to go all in, you're going to need some power. That's an absolute logical response. If you're going to do it, you don't need to go out there with zeal. That has not worked for you yet. What you need now is baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Brother Hogan, I got the baptism, praise the Lord. Yeah, I can tell by that phrase that you don't. Praise the Lord. You shall receive what?
Power.
When is faith?
Now.
You shall receive what?
Power.
Tell me when faith is.
Now.
You shall receive what?
Power.
When is faith?
Now.
Okay, I'm in agreement with you because that's what it says. Now I've got the Amplified versions. So that's for people like me that need a description of exactly what power means. For me, power means what it says here, ability. Like I'm walking back and forth in front of that crowd. There's lots of people there. But I need the ability to go beyond the trees into the forest. Yeah? I need to be able to step into a world that's not mine, that I may not be invited to, but I'm going to go in there anyway. Because I'm the all-in guy. I'm the one everybody watches because they're nervous. Because I don't get embarrassed. And I don't ever run out of energy. I'm 63 years old and I have run this year 10 marathons. And I'm running my 11th marathon next week. Ain't nothing you can say, but oh my. And I preach every day. So don't give me any excuses. Your excuses are not valid. You're just a chump. You're just a lazy chump. I don't know what to say to you. You need a life. You need to get over. Dude, come on. You going all in? Let's go. Mind, body, spirit. Let's do it. Let's be the best example ever. You have never heard of a 63-year-old grandpa doing this many marathons. Hey, the other day I was in this church and we was talking about it. I got some conversation going. People got mad at me about saying this stuff. Because I really do want you to better your life. It don't include all that internet time and all them movies and all that lying demon stuff that's going on. You are going to be trashed by hell because that's the plan. Nothing by itself is evil. But men's schemes and plans against Christianity is evil. There you go. You hear me? All right. And I've decided. And I'm standing there, and this guy walks up to me, little bitty old grandpa fellow. And he just patted me. You know, he says, I remember when I only had 23 marathons. And I'm looking at him. There's no way this man could possibly run a marathon. It wasn't. He run 77 so far. I got to keep going now. This is awesome. I like this. I like the environment of seeking God, working out, and preaching the gospel all over the world. I don't have distractions in the interest you have. They don't have any value. They don't get any. They don't go anywhere. Jesus is king. You're not going to convince me. I'm not trying to. Go ahead and die with your diabetes and your cancer. I don't give a flying flip. You know how come I got involved in this? Because my grandkids asked me to. Dadgummit. Now look, we're all caught up in something we can't get out of. And then this coach I got, she looks exactly like Miss Hogan. Excuse me, something's trying to shut me up over here. Débora, ¿qué haces? Me tienes que cenar, boy. And Cristo skin baby. Shut the baba kabasha. It's a little grandma. Same age as I am. She's run 50 milers. Her husband's run 50-100 miles. So the people I listen to. She sent me an article. She's my coach. Little grandma. About this lady with, I don't remember if it was muscular dystrophy or cerebral palsy. One of them got on her. Killed her. So she went out and started running. She ran 100 marathons in a row. And she got healed while she was running. That's bizarre, isn't it? Y'all look it up. I don't remember where to look. I don't care. So there you go. Now, I want to do this about the Holy Ghost, ability. Because I preach every day, you need ability. Being all in is awesome. That's great. I'm all in, praise the Lord. Okay, what does that look like? What does that mean? What are you doing? Well, you do need power. Give me power. Ah! Okay, all right, what for? Okay, you need ability. I got power. I got grace. I got mercy. I'm full of the love of God. Woohoo! Okay, you're awesome. Now move on. What do you mean? We need ability to use those powers to help humanity.
That's right.
Yes. All right? One of the definitions in my Bible of power is ability. The second definition is efficiency. I'm learning how to be even more laser with my job. More precise, efficient at what I do. I don't want anybody to walk out those doors hurting since you walked in here. It doesn't matter if you believe me, anything that comes out of my mouth, that's not the value. The value is God touching you before you leave. So I need an ability about me that can fix anybody. I need efficiency that ups the percentages. So what else do you need that can cause both of those to function? Okay, power, right. Efficiency, right. Ability, right. It's the might word. I need the might of the gospel on me. See, when I was a kid and I started seeking God about how to do this work and how I didn't know I needed all of those things. I'm just all over the place. Courage and wild and all of that. That's great to be that way, but you need to be able to actually do something. That's where ability and efficiency comes in. What trumps all of it, makes it all work, is the spirit of might.
That's right.
And I didn't know all of that, but it's found over there in Isaiah, I believe it's 11. I believe. Look, somebody help me out and hunt that up. And I'm pretty sure that's the right thing. Where it lists the spirits of God, seven spirits of God. I need y'all to look that up, somebody. Say, yes, it's right, or no, it isn't, or something. Okay, thank you. What is it, verse 3? 2, verse 2. Okay. See, I'm pretty close. I need. All right. Really, everything's a trap for you. Because I already know the answers to what I'm asking you. I just need you to look it up for yourself and read it and let it get you. We need the ability of God. We need the efficiency of God. We need the might of God upon us. If we get that, Holy Ghost power, ability, efficiency, might, nothing will be out of our reach. We can do anything. We can do anything. I ran into this girl over in Australia. She's a very irritating human being. Real pretty, black-haired, blue-eyed, petite, nice, put-together lady. And I know y'all don't like those kind of things, but that's the very reason I'm saying it to you. Because you think you're holy, and I'm not. Well, one of us is wrong, and it's not me, so there you go. And she's outstandingly nice-looking lady. All right. And I'm in this prayer line, and I get over there, and she's growled. I mean, she's mad. She's put out with me. And that really pleases me. I like that. It doesn't offend me one bit. I think it's awesome when people get disturbed by what's coming out of my mouth. It really makes me sleep good at night. When religious twits are just mad. Jesus is the love of God on the planet, and religion killed him. So you need to make it mad. Do your best. And so I'm looking at this lady. I find I want to get over there so bad. Such a pretty woman, but she's so evil. You know what I mean? She's swole up. She's manifest. It's full on. Finally, I get in front of her. How's it going? She says, "You're a liar." I said, "You think?" I said, "Let me tell you something, sweetheart. The Lord rebuke you. How's that going to go for you?" You know, I mean, she come off with some words that I'd have to hold my tongue. I'm not going to let it come up there, so I won't have to hold my tongue. And it was in a prayer line. And I'm just sitting there going, "Oh, it's so nice." See, y'all don't like that. Y'all like all the flowy, pretty stuff. Me, I like walking into hell and ripping the doors off and taking it back for God. That's what I like. And so she really got a little aggravated and used some choice language on me that I just absolutely didn't believe would come rolling out of her mouth. But it did. I said, "Here's how it's going to go. Go to hell. I'm glad for you. When you bust hell, lady, I'll see you. I ain't doing it. Do you understand? Are you understanding or not understanding?
Yes.
I am under no obligation that your religious world makes me try to go under to save somebody from a burning hell. That's God's job. And if you want to go there, be my guest." About 1 second, one breath, you'll realize what a bad decision that was.
That's right.
Yeah. Jesus is king.
Amen.
Oops. Wow, I just got all over y'all's doctrines and theologies. So, I left her. I went on. And she goes, "Hey, you." And I just turned and looked at her one time and said, "That's not my name." So I went on. Next thing I know, she done jumped the line. And now she's still mad, but she's more perplexed than mad. Because it didn't go the way that the demons had it sorted out. I said, "What do you want?" She said, "You're crazy." I said, "That's where you should have started." Because everybody knows that. But cursing me? We ain't doing that, baby doll. She said, "I need help." I said, can I give you some human-to-human advice? I really don't expect you to take it, but can I do that?" She said, "Yeah. Next time you start with a human, start right there. Help me. Don't go with the cursing. That don't go over very good. Don't go with the challenging, because people like me enjoy the fight. It's very enjoyable to take on hell and watch them lose. It just makes you sleep good at night. So you need ability, you need efficiency, you need the might of the gospel." She said, and then she grabbed my hands. "Please help me." I said, "You got to let go of me." She didn't. So I pulled her hands off and I popped her upside the head, and in the name of Jesus, pow! And I really wanted to smack her. I really did, because those words she said to me were pretty offensive. But I didn't really, I just tapped her really. But the Holy Ghost went way further than I did. Y'all all say, "The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Praise the Lord." Well, I've been in service where he's anything but a gentleman. He will slay you and you'll end up upside down over in a corner somewhere. I've been around real bona fide, taught gentlemen. They won't do that. Now God just plays and has fun. You make up all these strange ideas about who you think he is. That's because you don't know him. So, she done bounced on the ground. I can't tell you. I had to hold my tongue a lot because there's some bright stuff wanted to come out. How awesome I thought that was. Man, she was blasted by the Holy Ghost. See, ability, efficiency, and might and power hit her all at once. And I just thought it was awesome because she never came back too the whole time I'm there. So I left. I got on a jet in the morning and I flew up to Brisbane from Adelaide. That's a long ways. That's like from here to, see, where are we? Okay, that's like from here to Chicago. Well, maybe a little further, maybe Minneapolis. Something like that, you know? Long ways. And I'm thinking, this problem is solved. First night of the conference, no problem. But it's a four-night conference. Second night, I don't know her yet. I don't know that she's a stalker. So I get there. Miss Hogan's there now. She came over, flew, you know, so it's a yay day for me. So, next thing I know, this lady comes up, you know, and I don't recognize her. I'm a thousand miles away. I don't recognize her. And she just rapped on me like a like a tick or something. I mean, she's got a hold of me. And Miss Hogan is looking at me. I'm saying, look, excuse me, Miss Hogan. I don't know this lady. And she goes, yes, you do. I said, Miss Hogan, peel this thing off me. So the pastor's wife and Miss Hogan are fighting with this lady. And I said, that ain't going to work. So then I remembered her. I reared back on her and I go, I know you. So I hit her. What? So now I got it. I'm watching for her now. But every service should sneak up on me. I mean, on my back, on my sides. I mean, she's all over me. Miss Hogan and them are peeling this woman off of me. I mean, she's a pretty girl, too. She's, man, it's a, wow. It's, no, I don't like that. And, you know, it's uncomfortable. And so, now I went down to the Gold Coast. It's about 2 hours down from Brisbane. You know what I'm looking for? And I saw her. Oh, my God. Miss Hogan, tell the pastor's wife, y'all watch her. And when she comes, y'all tackle her. Just tackle her on the ground. And it went on for weeks. She's sneaky. Then we moved down to Sydney. Same thing. Then Canberra. Same. Now these places are far apart. I was all over Australia. In every service, that person was in there. And I mean all. I mean, and us. So finally, I am so nervous of her. I'm in Canberra. And I'm watching her. I'm talking. And I'm not doing nothing but watching her. She ain't very big. And she comes up there, and I got Miss Hogan, I got the pastor's wife, I got a couple of elders' wives. Get her! And she said, the lady's talking to me through them. It ain't going to do any good. She said, you don't understand. I said, it would have been nice about 2 weeks ago for you to get me some understanding. See, when you get the Holy Ghost and the ability and the efficiency and the might, and faith is operating through you and with you, you save people. This is what we do. In my world, it works. Saves marriages, saves jobs, saves children, heals, blesses. It's awesome. And she said, can I come over there? I won't hug you as strong. I said, you give me your word. And you stand there. You stand there over there where I can look at you. She said, I'll try. I said, darling, what in the world makes you be like you are? This ain't right what you're doing. She said, yes, it is. I said, tell me. She said, the first time you was talking in Adelaide, I was forced. They weren't handcuffed, but her and her husband and their two children were forced and physically brought to a service because, I mean, these are pretty people. Dressed right, smell right, look right, educated, but the world, they had both lost their jobs, and the world was over. Yeah. And everything was accusing them, and they were accusing each other, and so everything was destroyed. And what I didn't know was the night that they were forcibly. See, y'all don't believe that. You believe everything is voluntary. Some people don't do good with voluntary. They need a little help along the trail. You hear me? Say what you want. Amen. I don't agree with that. Hey, dude, you're the unbeliever I'm looking for. Brighten my day up. And she said, Brother David, several weeks ago, when we were forced physically, literally physically forced and brought to that service. My husband and I were biding our time. You got through with your foolishness. And we were going to go kill both of the children. And then he was going to kill me, then himself. Is that bad enough for you? And when the Holy Ghost, the ability, the efficiency, swoop all four of them up into the presence of God, it completely annihilated hell. It obliterated a murdering spirit. And all of them were delivered and healed. All four of them. They were saved. Do you hear me? You listen to me all in, folks. That's what you're supposed to do. Her being odd and strange and expressing her appreciation a little different than I was used to. I'm all right with it. I told her, latch on. I'll give a flip. You, baby, you're welcome. And she said, okay. Her husband's standing right there. He's holding on to me. They're bawling. The kids are crying. Do you understand that? That's what I want to bring to Jesus right there. This is what you're about. This is what you're doing. This is why you're breathing. This is why you need the power of the gospel. It's not to make you better, even though it will. That is a benefit of obedience, is you get to be blessed. That's not what we're doing here. We are soldiers of the gospel. We are Holy Ghost baptized winners, looking for some place to light up.
That's right. That's it.
Now let's go to another chapter. And in the same book, where was we? Was we in Acts, right? Okay, let's go to the next chapter. What number is that?
Two.
Oh yeah, two. Yeah. After one is two. There you go. Holy Ghost. See, all these are famous verses. I'm not going to get on anything that's not been famous to you. But I might hit one at the end. I'm almost finished here, but I want to give you a different look at where I'm going. Because there's things going on the planet. People are being delivered with great value. And we need to be part of that. We don't need to be in our little cul-de-sac, us foe and no mo. Dude, that ain't the right bubble to be in. Get out of that bubble. It's okay to live in the cul-de-sac, but not us foe and no mo. That stuff ain't right. We need to understand like God understands. And here's what he did in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day was fully come, whatever that means, y'all intellectuals know, and you, whatever, whoever you are. There you go. I ain't going to say nothing else. They were all assembled and in one place. Look at there. That's where we are. Wow. When suddenly, see, suddenly, say it.
Suddenly.
I want that. Say it.
Suddenly.
I want the suddenly of God. Say it.
To
get that, you got to get in all the way. All the way in. Suddenly, there came a sound. Say, I want that sound.
I want that sound.
I want that sound.
I want that sound.
I've been in lots of services where people are standing up in the room going, what's that sound? I'm telling them, it's the suddenly. That comes to my mind immediately. Because I'm hearing these noise. We hear a noise, a rush. It sounds like wind trying to break through a wall. It's a suddenly coming. Yeah. All right. And it was a violent tempest blast. And it filled the whole house. Say, whole house be full.
Whole house be full.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, faith.
Now, faith.
We receive power.
We
Come now.
Come suddenly.
In Jesus' name. I'm telling you, I've been at this my whole life, as well as all eight generations. And I still, you see, I want this. I want more of this. I don't know what it looks like. I've seen it look lots of different ways. I want more suddenly. I was over there in the Virgin Islands, and suddenly it started raining this platinum stuff. It was like a mist in the building we was in. And then these feathers came down by the hundreds of thousands. And it was a tornado of feathers in the building with us. And we're all just freaked out. We're just standing there, all of us in a pile. Are you serious? And if you can't get them, they won't come down until you can get up there with a dip net and, you know, get a stack of them. And then it's raining this sparkly, pretty stuff. And then you look back there, I'm freaking out over here. Because suddenly, I've never seen this kind of suddenly. And I look over there, and there's five chairs about 12 rows back over there, where somebody's sitting there because the stuff's falling and it's silhouetting figures that you can't see the people, but they're there. These angels came in and they're watching us look at the suddenly. I like this Holy Ghost thing. Ooh, it's nice. Say, I want that. Suddenly. I want this. In Jesus' name. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire. Say, I want that.
I want that.
I want that on me.
In Jesus' name.
Which were separated and distributed, and which settled on how many of them?
All.
Whoops. Now, I have to tell you, none of them believed. Because they didn't know such thing existed. Well, they were in unison in their faith. Praise the Lord, Brother Dave. No, they wasn't. They were scared spitless and they were hiding. They just watched Jesus die. And they're in the upper room because Jesus said, wait. And they were not in unison. Everybody was trying to be in charge because Jesus is gone now. Are you listening or not? And then suddenly. Say, suddenly. Say, I want that.
I want that.
There was a sound. And everybody's looking at each other. You got to understand, they did not know what was going on. They had never seen this thing before. Say, I want that.
I want that.
Man, I want that. I have seen this. I have seen this so many times. I have been parts of the weirdest, most amazable awesomeness. I want that. I want that. I want that. Wow. And it says right here in verse 4. And they were all, say all, filled. Say, I want to be filled. Now, in the Amplified, it describes what that means. It means diffused throughout their souls. I mean, there was nothing left. There wasn't a particle left that didn't get touched by this power. Say, I want that. In Jesus' name. Shakatadaba. I need to be touched. See, I have been getting this thing. There's this wind comes on. I cannot predict it. I really am good at trying to figure this stuff out. But it just, he's just so awesome. He don't want you to figure him out. He wants you to like him. He wants you to enjoy him. Are you with me or not yet? All right. We're going to enjoy. I was enjoying myself earlier. Thanks for making it available. With the Holy Spirit. And what they begin to do? They begin to speak in different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expressions in each tongue in appropriate words. Are you hearing me? Say, I want that. Say it.
I want that.
I want I want that, God. Okay, let's go to the next one. What's the next number of the chapter?
Three.
Okay, let's go there. I'm having to turn all these pages by hand because I didn't go back to the other way. I don't remember the number now. Okay, but what verse? Hang on. I'm looking. Oh, it's not moving. I went too far. Hang on. This don't look right. I want that, God. Let me know where it's at. Ha! I found it. See, your problem is I quit writing down all these fancy message things. I quit it. I just quit. Now, if it don't come up here when I'm talking, I ain't doing it. It's just too stressful to try to be so perfect all the time. How could you possibly think that's okay? We need the Holy Ghost, man. Okay, Acts chapter 3. Verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance. See, most Christianity is in ignorance. You really, really believe you're spot on. You really do. But it's not working for you. So do y'all know what the definition of crazy is? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. That's not me. You call me crazy, but I won't do it again if the results don't go properly according to the kingdom of God. But you, on the other hand, keep saying the same words over, and you're crazy. This stuff is not working. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need not to be ignorant anymore. We need to be diffused. We need to be filled, every atom in our body, with the mercy of the gospel power. We need the tongues of fire. We need the tempest of mercy of the gospel. All right. And so, verse 18. Thus has God fulfilled what he foretold. What does that look like? What does he mean, foretold? What is he saying to us? Not very many people know that answer. A handful of studied people know. And you wonder why you can't get something done. It's because you don't know what you're doing.
That's right.
Let's wake up. Let's wake up.
Yes.
I too go fishing and catch fish. I too go hunting and get stuff. I can do anything there is. I can drive anything that has a motor. Anything. Planes, big equipment, 18-wheelers, anything. It doesn't matter. I can do anything because I got the Holy Ghost. So it's not about you having a specialty item that I can't do, because if you can do it, I, dadgummit, can do it. So we're not that special, is what I'm trying to say. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need what was foretold. Whatever that is. So, but the prophets, that his Christ, the Messiah, would undergo ill treatment and be afflicted and suffer. All right, that's done. So we've got to move past that. Quit wearing Jesus around your neck on the cross, because that is not where he is. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Do you understand me? Now, you can wear that if you want to, but it ain't going to help you. It's not going to protect you. It's a piece of man-made junk.
Right.
It's an idol. That's all it is. So live with it.
Yeah.
So verse 19, what does it say? What's the first two or three words say? Repent. We need to be converted. Say it. I want that. I want to be converted. I want to be new. I want to be fresh. I want to be all in. I want to have tongues of fire. I want to be the one hell is worried about. So repent. Change your mind and change your purpose. That's what mine says. Turn around. Because what's happening is the whole church world is being drugged the wrong direction. As a general rule, I may not be talking about your body of believers, but as a rule, Christianity is going the wrong direction.
Come on.
We've got to turn around.
Right.
We got to stop the flow and flow with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right. Turn around and return to God that your sins may be erased. Say, I want that. Father God, say it.
Father God,
erase my sin.
Forgive me.
In Jesus' name. I want my sins blotted out. Say it.
I want my sins wiped clean.
Today. That, what's this? There's a reason why you want all that. So you can have that last phrase. Ready? That times of refreshing. I want the refreshing
of the gospel.
You can look at me and see that I'm refreshed. You can't. You don't know I've been for years now with no. We skipped the last vacation. It was probably Miss Hogan's fault. Schedules me so tight and all this stuff and everything. I better have a kiss over here. But it's times of refreshing. You see? I am blessed. Say it.
I am blessed.
I am the blessed of the Lord.
I am the blessed of the Lord.
I am the favorite son and daughter.
I am the favorite son
and
daughter.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Refreshing.
Refreshing.
Come to me.
Come to me.
Recovery.
Recovery.
Overtake me.
Overtake me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
From the effects of the heat. See, hell is burning you, is hating you, is distracting you, is tormenting you, is torturing you. Most everybody in this room is tortured every day, all day long. But you do your best to act like you're not. I want refreshing. I want not to be tortured. I don't want to be the guy that's chained up by hell and tortured. I don't want the effects of heat on me. I don't want to be mad. I want to be free.
Hallelujah.
I want to be blessed. I don't want to be the guy in chains of alcoholism or lust or perverted and sexual, what do you call that stuff, the stuff you see, what do you call that stuff? Pornography. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be that guy. You ladies, you don't want to be that lady. We want to be free. We want to be refreshed. We want to be all in with God. That's who we want to be. Please, mercy. So let's go backwards. Let's go to the Old Testament over there. Somewhere, Joel. Where's Joel? Anybody know where Joel is? It's in the Old Testament somewhere. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. And let's look here. Rend your hearts. That's verse 13. Joel 2:13. First three words. Rend your hearts. Verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. See, I'm one of those guys. When I'm home, every day I pick the shofar up. Every day, the children around me, dozens of the people I work with, their children, and I'm teaching them to speak to the north, speak to the south, speak to the east, and speak to the west. And I blow the shofar on all corners. And I blow toward Israel. And I speak peace over Israel. Because blessed are they who love my people, says the Lord. So I'm teaching the children how to receive the blessing of the Lord. And we ask every day. We blow, we speak to the north, south, east, and west. And this is what we ask for. Souls, healing, deliverance, health, life, peace, joy, rejoicing, prosperity in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's keep looking. This is what it says. Like it said. That's what the writers of Acts said. Like it said by the prophet. This is what the prophets say. Rend your hearts. Blow the trumpet of the Lord. Verse 16. Gather the people and sanctify the congregation. 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Then, verse 18. I want to provoke my king to jealousy. I want his mercy to flow. That's how you get it to do that. It says it right here. Then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. I've got a rhyme and I've got a reason. I've got a purpose and I've got a destiny. Jesus is King. I won't back down and I'm not backing up. All of them. I need to read them all. I'm not going to. I need to. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord. Does yours say that? Of course it does. And after you've done all these things, it's in here. What does verse 24 say? See? You're trying to bypass. Y'all are shortcut people. See? There's a difference. I'm going to go a little touchy on you here. You've become entitled people. Instead of grateful people. And that is demonic. No one orders God around, buddy. You go to Him with fear and trembling. And you go all in. Because He knows your heart. You can trick me before we ever get started. I'm not even going to worry with trying to figure you out. But let me tell you this. You ain't tricking the great one.
That's right.
All right. And then the threshing floor shall be full of grain and the vats full and overflow with the juice of the grape and oil. Verse 25, and I will restore and replace for you the years that the locusts and the have eaten and the stripping locusts and the crawling bugs and my army, great army, which I sent. See, God lets liars be devoured. Oops. I don't believe that He loves me. I didn't say He didn't love you. I said that He loves you. He don't do bastards. He don't do entitlement. He does gratefulness. And sons. Is truth okay?
Amen.
We're going to do this. We're going to get so blessed by the Holy Ghost. But we're going to actually do it the way He wants it done. What? 26. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. Is that what you're looking for? Of course it is. Say, yeah, that's what I want. Say, I want that.
I want that.
want that.
27. You shall know, understand, and realize that I am in the midst of you, that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is none else. You distracted people, you entitled people, I don't even feel sorry for you. It's foolishness. It's wrong. And we need to be on our face calling on that pity, that mercy, that grace, that goodness, telling him how awesome he is. Thank you. And then look at this next one. And my people shall never be put to shame. Some of you sitting in this room, you've made bad decisions, and you do love God. I know you love God, but you just doggone it, are not paying attention. You're making bad decisions. Stop it. Stop it. Nobody hates you. I don't want to run or control your life. You're not hit. I'm having enough time with this guy. Dude. We follow this.
Yes.
It's not against you. It's for your benefit and goodness and clarity. I see it. You can see I see it so clear. Other people don't sometimes. Okay. And afterward, I will do what? What did he say? All right. This is what happened in Acts chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit upon who?
All
flesh. That's why when it came, all of them got blasted. Because it said they would. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You ought to see it in our work. Sometimes the Holy Ghost takes over our children. We cannot get them back. Sometimes they're gone 3 days in trances. This thing is real.
Yes.
Right. Your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Say, I want that. Even upon the maid servants and the men servants in those days will I pour out my spirit. Verse 30, I will show signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. Oh, man, I want that.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you two things, and I'm stopping, because I want to pray, and we'll see where we go. Fine? Let me let her have this so it won't keep bothering me. Necesito otro halt, por favor. ¿Ya lo tiene? Ah, bueno, gracias. Muy amable. Gracias, hermana. Holy... Holy. I was in Lilongwe, Malawi, in Africa. I'm sitting there, and there must be 5,000-6,000 folks there. Man, they're pretty people. They're all pretty, you know. Wait, that's the wrong thing. See, if I was like you, I'd be embarrassed, but since I'm not, there you go. All of a sudden, the people, because sitting right on the first three rows was 75% of the president's cabinet of the nation. And I'm spinning out. And I got my blue jeans and boots on, Bubba. And I'm spinning out. And these people are looking at me like I have lost a few marbles. But since I'm such a good grandpa, I don't lose my marbles. You see, I hadn't lost my marbles yet. I'm touched, all right. And all of a sudden, what happened?
Don't speak.
What?
It's a stink bug.
Oh, who cares?
It'll stink.
Everybody has to eat. So who brought the Ricola? Did you do that? I just noticed it. Ricola. And so, so I saw the commercial with the guy. You know, they really do that over there in the Swiss Alps. Really, really. Got them big things. Serious. I'm serious. I watched them do it. So, oh, and the cows, they really do have bells. Every time I go, they give me a cowbell. I don't know what that's for. Now I got lost. Where was, oh, I was in Malawi. Where I've already finished that. I was in Malawi. Yeah. And the next thing I know, these really educated cabinet people of the president of Malawi stand up and they're looking at me, and they point behind me, and they're looking up in the air. And I'm going, it's mouth of you, not his. I thought y'all was educated over here. You're acting like me. You know what happened in the middle of the day? God split the day, and we saw night through the day. Oops. Signs and wonders. I couldn't believe it. I'm still going. Me and everybody in there. And then when that thing closed back and real daylight was on us again, bang. You ought to have seen the fire of God healing tuberculosis and AIDS and cancers and blind and deaf. Amazing. It's amazing. Your God is awesome. Everything is awesome. What? Now I'm going to get you with one more, and we're going to do something else. Now this is calculated. You understand I'm a good hunter, right? A few months ago, I was in Argentina. And something hit us in Argentina. It was a big ministry place that was lots of thousands of people. It was just jammed in this big, massive hall. And then it happened. The thing that everybody in this room wants to see happened. You don't know what it was? It was the ugliest woman in the world. See, they were expecting something spooky spiritual. I got them. Now watch. This woman, you ladies, y'all are safe. I have already found the ugliest woman in the world. And I know y'all don't like me talking like this, so that's why I'm going to make it more bright. That hunchback, she had this big thing on her back. Her face was gnarled with tumors. And she's twisted up. And here she comes. And I'm going, are you serious? I've never seen such an ugly human in my life. See, y'all's politically correct world don't like me talking like that. You want to give me lessons? Let me give you one. Shut up. You want to know why? You want to know why? You can't be rude. I'm not being rude. I'm being honest. There's a difference. Listen to me. This woman is walked up there. There ain't no more ugly human on the planet. I'm serious. But what I watched with my eyes was God transform her. I watched the hunchback thing melt off of her. None of us prayed for her. There was a bunch of people there that had gifts. That wasn't the value, though. This knotted up face with tumors, neck and chest, they just melted off of her. Then, you can't tell she's blind, deaf, and dumb because of all the other stuff. To be the ugliest human in the world, you gotta have some bad stuff wrong with you. And right in front of us all, God fixed her. Listen, He fixed that lady. I'm just sitting there going, are you serious? She met Jesus and He fixed her. Her eyes pop open, her ears pop open, her mouth pops open, her body unfolds, tumors, hunchback. Next thing you know, her clothes don't fit because all that stuff's gone. And there's a woman standing there that is beautiful. You see, that's why we need the Holy Ghost. To take the ugly of hell off of us. And not only that, but there were between 180 and 200 other tumor blind, deaf, crippled people that got healed instantly also. And you know what the best part of all of it was? None of us touched them. There was a guy standing that we couldn't see him. But they caught him on their smartphones and their cameras. He's standing up on the platform behind us, and he's about 10 or 11 foot tall, and he's got his arms stretched, and he's fire. I saw it with my, when they brought Brother David, look what's standing behind y'all. And I saw us, and I saw the thing. The angel of the Lord came. That's what I want. Say that. I want that. I want that one right there. And some of you, I can tell by looking at you, you're trying to hide it, but you're not got a very good mask on. You don't believe that. But the reason for the whole demonstration is for you. I have to slap the fire out of unbelief. It must be addressed. Amen. Jesus is King. Amen. Now say, I want that. Say it. I want that fire angel. I want that healing angel. I want that fire of God. I want that tongues of fire. In the name of Jesus. Would y'all please stand? Ricola. Sounds just like the commercial. I know I could make a commercial for him. Ricola. Huh. Dude, you forgot to give me a donut. I was supposed to eat a donut. I mean, that's a Perkins donut or something. Well, I don't know what it is either, but it's Perkins. It's got to be good, right? How you, girl? You all right? Boy, you did good earlier. Thank you. I was very pleased with the presents. Thank you. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Do y'all hear how much goodness I've been getting into? There's more. I'm just giving it to you a little softer. In your world, it's not soft at all. But from my world, it is. Because there's a brand new day of dead raisings on us. See?
Come on, that's right.
And creation miracles. I haven't got into any of that. Wow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, in the morning. Yeah. We'll do it. Holy Ghost. Start worshiping Him. Come on. You want to tell us what we need to do? I want to if you still have time.
I got all kind of time.
What?
We don't start till 9:15.
All right. So how we doing? Everybody still safe?
Yes. I want you to think with me of everything you just heard. Oftentimes, Brother David had us repeat the phrase, "I want that." I believe there's a couple of things that happened that caused those kind of things to start transpiring in our life.
Come on,
pray. So we had like a fire tunnel last night. People came through the fire tunnel. A lot of people got touched. You can get touched, and I believe in impartation. Paul actually says to Timothy, "It's my desire to come unto you that I might impart some spiritual gift unto
you." That's right.
I think there's an impartation that happens through the laying on of hands. But I believe that impartation is a jump start to get you somewhere. But it's up to you to do something with it once you've been jump started. I believe "I want that" has to be followed up by, "Now I'm going to change some behavior so I can pursue what I really said I desire." We're going to lay hands on people tonight. We're going to believe God for some pretty amazing things. Last night we made a fire tunnel through here. And it went pretty good. A lot of people kind of fell out and it gets a little crowded. I think what we want to do tonight is just a little different. I'm actually going to tell you that if you want Brother David to lay hands on you, maybe some other folks as well, what we'll do is we'll start right over here by this, by the flags, and you just line up along the wall. And rather than you all coming through him, he's just going to come by and lay hands on y'all. Right? Then that way if you fall out, he can keep moving. You won't mess up the rest of the line. And we'll just get you to line up against that wall. And I believe as we do that, it will just start just... See, some of you pay attention. You're already getting over there. I'd encourage you to go to the back wall. I wouldn't even be first. I'd get in the middle because that's when it gets hot. I'm just kidding. Okay? He won't run out of steam by the end. You find a spot along the wall somewhere, right? Brother David, we'll get some folks to go with you. Maybe stay right with you. Shane, you want to stay right with him? Okay? And yeah, you man, let's just believe God. They're praying over all this stuff that's still here. We're going to continue just in an atmosphere of worship and just believe in God. And let's see what the Lord does. Because I believe God's going to touch some people tonight.
This is good for my marathon training.
Bless you, God. 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 If we're running out of wall space, we can make the front. That's all right. Come on, man. Good stuff. Yeah, we got some more room yet right in here. But I'm believing God for some pretty amazing things. We're going to pick it up at 9:15 tomorrow morning. We're going to do a service at 9:15, another one at 11:15. How many have faith to believe we can do two services with this guy? You have to have faith for that.
Okay.
But I'm really in the mood for miracles right now.
Come on.
I'm telling you, I think God's up to something. And he said it, man. God's not mad. God's not angry. God's in a good mood.
He is.
He's in a good mood. He's in a mood for miracles, too. So, man, get ready and expect something amazing to happen. Pam's just going to lead us out in some more worship. As Brother David, go ahead and get started. And
okay.
Anything in your heart, man, just share your heart. Go ahead.
Where do you want me to start? About a
flag? I'd tell you, wherever you start is a good spot. Okay. Yeah, by them flags is fine. All right, here's what we're going to do, man. He's coming right now. And as he is, would you do this with me, man? Just put your hand upon your heart. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you. We thank you for the amazing opportunity that we have, God, to pursue heaven because we realize that heaven's in pursuit of us. God, I thank you that as you're pursuing us, Lord, we have one desire, and that's to know you, to love you, to fall deeper in love with you than ever before. And Holy Spirit, I invite you right now, just come. That, Lord, as hands are laid tonight, God, that men and women are feeling the transformation of their lives, God, as you ignite something fresh, something new in their spirit. God, I thank you that tonight, Lord, we'll partake of fresh fire and a fresh wind. God, we pray for a fresh oil to flow from on high. Give us the fresh bread of heaven, God. We're after the fresh manna, and we desire you, God, in a great capacity. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now. Just come in an amazing fashion. Touch our lives, God, that when we go out of this place, we're going out different than we came. Lord, this one encounter with the King can change our life forever. And so tonight, God, we receive that touch from heaven, and we welcome you. Just come, Holy Spirit. We bless you. We thank you. We love you. And we pray for your grace to rest upon us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you just stay in an atmosphere of worship as this starts to happen right now?